Brothers and sisters, our first scripture lesson comes from the book of the prophet Malachi, Malachi 3, verses 1 through 4, found on your Pew Bible page 1490. Hear the word of the Lord. See, I am sending my messenger to prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple, the messenger of the covenant in whom you delight. Indeed, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts. But who can endure the day of his coming? And who can stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire and like fuller's soap. He will sit as a refiner and purifier of silver, and he will purify the descendants of Levi and refine them like gold and silver, until they present offerings to the Lord in righteousness. Then the offering of Judah and Jerusalem will be pleasing to the Lord, as in the days of old, and as in former years. Our next scripture lesson, the New Testament lesson, comes from the Gospel of Luke. Luke chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. Found on page 1593. In the 15th year of the reign of Emperor Tiberius, when Pontius Pilate was governor of Judah, and Herod was ruler of Galilee, and his brother Philip ruler of the region of Iturea and Trachonitis, and Licinius ruler of Abilene, during the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of the Lord came to John, son of Zechariah, in the wilderness. He went into all the region around the Jordan, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. As it is written in the book of the word of the prophet Isaiah, the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough ways made smooth, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God. This is the word of the Lord.
Be to God.
Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we thank you. We thank you for this season of preparation, this time of making ready. And we ask, Lord, that your word would help us and guide us as we prepare for the coming of your Son, as we make ourselves ready, not just for the joy of Christmas, but for the joy of the day we will see you in your full glory. Light our path and guide our hearts this day through your word. Amen. This past week, I got to spend some time chatting with my three siblings. There was a bit of how was Thanksgiving for each of you? What did you do? How are you doing making ready for Christmas? Because some of those traditions that I spoke to the kids of are ones that are over 40 years old. So the fact is, we all in our own way carry on those traditions. Like the day after Thanksgiving is in my family a universal day of decorating. Each of us works in a church in some form or fashion. We have two ministers, one spouse of a minister who is also the administrator of another church, and we have one children's ministries director at another church. So it might be a family business, so to speak. As I was talking with the other minister, Edie, my older sister, also named Edith, we talked about which candle around the Advent wreath we were lighting this week. It's one of those conversations we always seem to have because we always track along the same thought process. Four candles around the wreath, four kids. It tended to go through a cycle in our family. But one candle, even to this day, is always going to be Edie's candle. And that's the pink one, the joy candle. Every year we break out the wreath and we get it all set to go. And all of a sudden Edie said, "That one's mine." "You don't even have them all in, Ed. Come on." The dibs would come, and then what followed would be the rest of us figuring out which candle was ours. We had the debate over whether or not you got to light your candle every single Sunday or whether or not you got to light everybody else's on your Sunday. We talked about the lectionary, about how the scriptures for this week lended themselves towards the various candles. We have the candle of joy, peace, love. We have all these things symbolized in these candles. But in that conversation, I learned that I differ from my sister in a few other ways than the 7 inches of height and a few extra pounds. Because today's scripture, though Edie would argue otherwise, is about love. When you peel back the contextual pieces, connecting who was king and all of that, saying who and when and in what year John began his ministry, who John was descended from and the relation that he was to Levi, the high priest, you find a story of love in today's scripture. Not a Hallmark Channel or rom-com type of love, but a story of God loving us so much that a plan was put into action. Now, growing up, we had different names for those four candles, including Edie's candle. There's the joy candle, which is also the shepherd's candle. There's the peace, hope, and love candles. But there's also the prophet's candle, the Bethlehem candle, the angel's candle. It all depends on where you place the emphasis, but they all focus along the same paths. It's not hard to understand that today the love candle focuses on love. God's love, our love for God, our love for one another. But the other label for that candle is the Bethlehem candle. The candle given that title, it symbolizes the journey, the preparation of Mary and Joseph. As they journey to Bethlehem, as they make ready to welcome the Christ child, as they prepare their world, their lives for the Son of God, as they prepare to receive this Son who will shake the heavens and the earth. Such preparations are not easy and do require love. I remember when we were preparing to welcome Liam and then Luca and then Barb, it required a lot of effort taking a dresser, sanding that thing down, putting an extra coat of paint on it, preparing, taking a different dresser, sanding that one down, painting it, painting all the little fixtures, making sure they dried, all of that effort, making sure the walls were right, making sure you had plenty of clothes, diapers, wipes, had everything the child could need. Having that child, welcoming that child, requires preparation. And to make that preparation requires love. All these things roll together and are symbolized in that title of Bethlehem candle. But today's scripture doesn't tell a straightforward story of love, does it? After all, John the Baptist isn't exactly the lovey-dovey guy we might want. He's fuller soap. He's bleach. He is abrasive when he comes. He's not gentle in his approach like a parent with a child. He's a craftsman, hammering away, clearing away. He's a bulldozer when a shovel could be used. His message and his actions are not like a parent preparing a room for a child. So how does John and his mission gel with love? How does it reflect love in his journey, in his message, in his mission? It's like a friend of mine who once had to translate her dad's love language. Instead of saying, "I love you," he was more of the, "I'm going to check your car, make sure it's running right, sweetie, okay?" So instead of, "I love you," dad would check the car. He would make sure everything was lined up and safe. He would do things that were loving and caring, but not in the traditionalist sense. It was a different sort of love. Let me pose to you a question about John and his ministry. Was his ministry ever really about John, or was it about something else? Yes, he was the voice crying out in the wilderness, and he was that bleach, that soap, trying to clean and make clean, make and prepare the world. But was it ever about him? Was it ever about John? Or was it always about the one who sent him and the one he was preparing the path for? His ministry was never about the small. It was always about the greater. John's ministry really starts when God sent him. It starts and begins and grows. It's about calling people to be ready for Christ, for the coming of Christ, for Christ's ministry, to prepare themselves. It might not be the exact same as preparing our world for a child, but it's preparing for the child, the Son of God. You see, with the Bethlehem candle, we celebrate Mary and Joseph preparing. And in our scripture, we have John calling on the world, on us, to prepare for that same Christ, just a little older. John the Baptist, though he was pleasant as sandpaper, had love in his message. His call to repent and turn away was all about love. It was all about God's love, God's desire for us to return, to be faithful, to follow. It's all about that love that John 3:16 speaks of when it says that God so loved the world. God sent John as the voice crying out in the wilderness because God loved us so much. We see what that could be in John's message. That every valley should be filled, every mountain and hill made low, and every crooked thing made straight, and for the rough ways to be made smooth. And so that all flesh may see the salvation of God. That's the end of what God's love will look like. But that's at the end of things. That's the end goal down the road. For us, it's about preparing for that end goal. It's about making ready for that down the road. It's about getting there. I remember back when I was a teenager, and the height of funny was when my cousin Adam was going through what I call the why stage of life, where everything he was told was followed with the question, why? We're going to Gettysburg, Adam. Why? Because we're going to enjoy it. Okay. What's that, Dad? That's the eternal flame. Why is it called that? Well, because it doesn't go out. Well, what if it did go out? Well, then they go back up and light it. Well, what if they couldn't light it? You kind of get the gist of that conversation. And teenage me was always laughing right up until Liam hit that stage. And then you think about it. It's all about figuring out what makes what we have tick. What makes us do what we want to do. And that brings us back. That brings us back to why we do what we do. You see, God sends John to call us to prepare and make ready for Christ because of love. Christ comes and ministers throughout the world because of love. We prepare ourselves, our lives. We minister in our communities. Why? Because of love. It's all in a circle. As Christmas gets closer and perhaps we're counting the days on a calendar or an Advent calendar, opening up so we can get the chocolates. As Christmas gets closer, do we follow that path and prepare? Do we behave as we normally do, or do we prepare ourselves in celebration for the coming of Christ? Do we, in this time of year, try and let the joy of Christ, the love of God, permeate our lives? Do we need to ask ourselves, how are we responding in this season? There's a familiar song which I started singing, and David's sitting up front, so I won't assail your ears by trying, but it calls on us to need a little Christmas right this very minute. And we do. We do. But not just because we want the presents, but because we need more Christ. We need more of the love that Christ brings, the Christ that brings to us love and causes us to love as well. We are called to make ready and prepare. We aren't called to treat others like we're in a Western at high noon, waiting for one another to love each other. I will when you will. You know, that's so often what we do. I'll love others when they start loving me more. The fact of the matter is, we are called to love, to make the path of God straight, to prepare ourselves for Him. Christmas is coming. Let us prepare for Him. Let us pray. Gracious God, we thank you. We thank you for the gift that you gave us, for the gift of love, for the love you gave to us. And we ask, O Lord, that you will continue to let your love flow in and through us. Help us to love as you have loved us. Help us to love as Christ showed us how to love. Help us to bring a little Christmas into our world. In your name we pray.